shot himself. But he tried to kill himself twice. The first time he shot himself, the gun misfired. Nothing happened. God gave him a chance. But sometimes depression and pain and hurt and loneliness can be so devastating. It can be such a dark place that it doesn't matter what happens. I'm ready to leave this place. And I don't know if any of you have ever been in a place where you just was ready to go. You didn't want to be here anymore. You didn't want to live anymore. You didn't want to work anymore. You didn't want to pray anymore. You didn't want to talk anymore. You didn't want to come to church anymore. Nothing mattered. There was no light at the end of your tunnel. But I implore you today, if you're like that or if you've ever been there, open your mouth and start talking. Because if you was there, you're not there anymore. And the only way that people are going to know how to get out of there is for you to tell them. And I'm not ashamed to tell you guys I've been in that dark place. I have. When you can imagine your funeral, what you look like in the casket, what you look like after you shot yourself, if you can imagine all of that stuff and you can't even see another way, that's a dark place. And I'm not talking about something I read in a book. I'm talking about something I've experienced. And sometimes we can walk around in silent frustration and nobody knows what we're going through. But if they see your life, if they see you smiling in the midst of your letdowns, if they see you praising God and you're happy in the midst of your problems and in the midst of your pain, you never know who life you're going to change. And that's why we have to live the life. And he changed people's lives by the way he walked. It's good to preach a sermon. And every now and then use words. I'll catch that at about 12:30. But when all hell breaks loose, if you think about it, think about this. How many, there was really no tragedies this week. I know I talked about the young man dying, but I'm talking about on a massive scene until the other day. And I was thinking to myself, we almost made it. And it's sad to think that we wake up expecting this type of thing to happen. And so hell is breaking loose all over the world. And we think this is terrible, but there's going to come a time. Because do you guys realize what's holding back evil? It's the spirit of the God. That's what's holding back evil. But he said in his word, there will come a day when my spirit will not dwell with man. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? That type of day. So as I thought about the series that I'm doing, when all hell breaks loose, it's not only for now. This is actually a prophetic word. Because it's going to come a time when all hell is really going to break loose. And I don't know if I'm going to be here. I don't know if you're going to be here. I don't know. But I do want to have the proper tools in my tool belt to be able to stand and fight. And so when we think about all hell breaking loose, I know we've talked about it. If I could use just for a subject, just for a moment, y'all, hit the deck. Hit the deck. And so when we think about it, hitting the deck, I know we had some soldiers that was in here that was in the army. When they say incoming, incoming fire, what is the first thing a soldier does? Hit the deck. He falls down because that soldier realized that if he's standing up, when that explosion happens, because an explosion will hit and then the force will come up, if he's standing up, he's liable to get injured or killed. A lot of people think that the explosion from a hand grenade is what kills people. It's actually the shrapnel that disperses from the hand grenade that kills people. And so if we learn in a storm to hit the deck, we don't get hit with the debris that's flying around. Think about this. Have you, in a bad storm, we go into our house and we sit, and if y'all like if y'all like me, when I used to go in the house, my mama would say, sit down, shut up, turn off all the TV, don't move, don't breathe, don't talk, don't do nothing. Let God work. And have you ever been sitting in your house and it thunders so hard, so loud, you duck? Why? You're in a place of protection. But the noise was so loud, it made it seem like something was about to cave in and fall on you. But when I talk about hitting the deck, and I apologize for not letting y'all sing. But when I talk about hitting the deck, I'm talking about falling to a place of humility. Sometimes the storms, the struggles, and the fights that you have will humble you. And we've gotten good at humbling ourselves before the Lord. We've gotten good at that. But the problem comes when we have to humble ourselves before a man. Because we have this level of society or this level of belief that we hold certain people on. And I'm no better than none of you. And you are no better than I. And I was telling ministers in the back that we need to pray for Pastor Perry Noble and the New Springs Baptist Church. Because he's a man that made a mistake. That's all it is. The only difference between me and him is he's gotten exposed and I haven't. And you'll catch that at about 12:30. But what we also need to pray for is that church family. Because even the Bible talked about when they strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And we need to pray that those people don't fall away because of that. So in your spare time, you can do that. So listen. Matthew 22 tells us, in Matthew 22, it talks about one of the Pharisees asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with thy mind. He said, the second is to love thy neighbor as thou love thyself. Now, I posed a question to the men this morning, and I'm going to ask y'all, how many of y'all know somebody that hates you? I mean, it's okay. How many of y'all know somebody that truly hates you? They can't stand the ground you walk on. And when you come up, they even bust out in a little bit of sweat. Okay. How many of you die for that person? I didn't see any hands. And that's the natural inclination of people. But Jesus did that for you. He did that for you. So why would you not do the same? We must come to a place where we are concerned about our neighbor. But what does society tell us to do? I'm looking out for numero uno. I got to look out for me. I got mine, and y'all finished it just right. Y'all got mine, you get your. That's what we do. But if we're Christians or believers, is that right? I'm not loving my neighbor. Listen to this. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and thoughts than your thoughts." So y'all, when y'all was testifying and talking about the Lord this morning, and I was really giving excerpts from the message. I said, we got to change the way we think. God was showing me through everybody that spoke that there is a shift happening. You are changing the way you think. And when there is a shift happening, you have to move with the shift in order to see the move. Good analogy. If I go up McKinney Road and I turn left, the people who went right only know that I went left, but they don't know where I went. And so when God begins to make a shift, if you're not in tune with the direction in which he's going, you won't see what he's doing. And so the way we stay in tune is to stay prayed up. Because he just said in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And look what he said. As high as the heaven is, so are my thoughts. So, how in the world can a little bitty human keep up with a big old God? It's through prayer. It's through fasting. It's by getting in touch with the spirit that's down on the inside of you. That's how you keep up with God. Because God, we're supposed to be God chasers. But we'll chase everything else but him. But why not let God chase himself? We make it too difficult. If you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you. He's going to lead you. And he's only going to lead you back to the Father. So why not let God chase himself? Okay. Look, Matthew 20:16 says, because this is really changing your way of thinking. And I've heard this scripture before, but it makes sense now the more I mature. It says, for the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. Listen to this, Matthew 19:30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, what is that saying? Think about this. The people that we think need to be behind us is the people that we need to put in front of us. Oh, that ain't how this work. That ain't how I've been thinking. No, it's not. Because we have this hierarchy in society and we base it on money and stature. If you got a lot of money, you must be important. If you hold a certain title, you must be special. And so those people that are sitting high, looking low, and treating us as such, I'm going to walk by them. I'm just saying me because I'm believing what this word says. So when I begin to combine all this, it changes my thinking. So do you want to know how to hit the deck spiritually? I guess nobody wants to know. The way you hit the deck spiritually is to retaliate against Satan. Why do we stand in a fight and just get beat up. It doesn't make sense, really, does it? Why would I stand there and let somebody just beat me up? A lot of times when in a storm, we wait for somebody to come and pull us out. But what if you had the means to get yourself out? Say, but thank you. We do. We got the means to get ourselves out. Think about this. How many of y'all ever watched a boxing match? When you watch a boxing match, there was I forget which one this is. It was Muhammad Ali. I think it was George Foreman. And Muhammad Ali was boxing George Foreman. This might have been a Thriller in Manila. And he was boxing George Foreman, and all Ali would do every round would come out, get against the ropes. Get against the ropes. And Foreman was tagging him. And I was like, how in the world is he going to take this? But toward the end of the boxing match, Ali decided, I'm coming off. And what he had done, he had let Foreman wear himself out. But he knew toward the end of the match, I got gas left because I ain't been swinging as much as him. And he came out and he started swinging. And he caught him with some bad ones. I just use that for lack of a lesser term. He caught him with some bad ones and knocked him down. And so the way we retaliate is to fight back. How do I fight Satan? He said, on your knees. But look, he changed his thinking because my thinking, normally we would beat the ball up my fist and swing out. That's not on my knees is not a normal fighting position. But that's exactly how I'm going to beat him. On my knees. And so when I get on my knees and I begin to pray to the Lord, let me make that clear. Guess who is protecting me? Because if I'm praying on my knees, I'm in a vulnerable position. But God has got me covered while I'm down there. So let me give you a couple of thoughts and we'll get out of here. It's just been a great day. Great day. I feel good. Let me give you things I thought about. You may be sick or someone close to you may be sick or ill. You retaliate by getting in a low place and find someone that is sick and minister to them. I got silent. Because the thought process of me while I'm sick is I need somebody to take care of me. But really, if the last shall be first and the first shall be last, then the person that's worse off than me needs ministering to. And so now, just like he said, I'm in a position where God has got to cover me and protect me. God fixes my illness because I care more for my neighbor than myself. I know, but you got to try it. You got to try it. What if you're having difficulties in your marriage? You got to get in a low place and find someone that might be on the edge of divorce. And say, even though we're having problems, you can make it if you hang in there. But what we generally do, we sit there and throw blows with the person we love. I got a problem with this too. How can you be in love with somebody and then when the relationship go bad, they every dog, every butt, every tramp, every whatever. But one time you loved them. People who can do that tells me that their love is shallow. And your relationship with your spouse is really your relationship with. And so we should commit ourselves to fervent prayer. Pastor, what's fervent prayer? That means praying without pray until something happened. I mean, praying, that means not just now I lay me down to sleep. That means, Lord, I know you're able and I know you can. And Lord, I need to see you do something in this relationship. And Lord, I know even they feel like it ain't going to work out. But Lord, I just need you to show up and show out in there. And as a matter of fact, anybody that's been hurt or been blinded by the things they've been doing and saying to each other, I need you to even fix it in their life. I'm talking about that type of prayer where it just goes on and there's a ripple effect. And then you grab somebody else and begin to pray on behalf of those people. And even if they don't know them, you just praying that God will fix that situation, that they would just change their hearts and change their minds, that something new will begin to happen in their lives. That's fervent prayer. And I'm talking about, you might get tired and you might have something to do, but as soon as you get a break, you go back to it. Oh yeah, Lord. And remember what we was talking about Jimmy and Sue and their marriage? I also want to see you work this out and work that. I'm talking about fervent prayer where you just do not stop praying until you see something happen, until you see God move, until you see that situation rectify. Fervent prayer. How about this? I'm really finna mess you up now. How many of y'all ever said, I'm broke? I hadn't said that in probably about 10 years. I ain't gonna even lie. Have not said that. Because I realize my words have power. Now, when you're broke, when you say you broke, you're not really broke. You just don't have what you want to have. Because if you have ever seen somebody that was broke, I'm talking somebody that don't have a job and don't, like, you know, you might get a check next week from somebody or something. But I'm talking about somebody who don't even have a job. They don't even have an auntie or uncle that can give them something. They don't have no mama or daddy that can give them anything. They don't have nothing. They don't even have anything that they can even go pawn. Broke. We ain't like that. So, thank you, Kent. Praise God. But there are people that are like that. Now, what if you knew somebody who was broke? You ain't got but 5 or 10 in your account. But you've been asking God to bless your finances. All of it. All of it. He said, give him half of it. All of it. You ain't. You ain't. That's what I'm saying. I'm glad you're talking, because that's how we have to change our mindset. It's a mindset change. We don't want to give to people because we don't think we're going to get something back. That's why we won't give to people. Because we got an expectation to get something back. But when you give on behalf of God, because we're his hands and his feet and his eyes in the earth. That's what we're supposed to be. And so we're supposed to be doing those things that we know God would do. Now, God can do anything, but all of the resources are in the earth. So if we pull together and say, okay, we know somebody that need blessing. Well, they ain't no kin to me. I ain't putting no money in there. That's wrong. That's wrong. It has nothing to do with relationship earthwise. It has everything to do with your vertical relationship with him. And even, now look, this finna really mess you up. Even if you're sowing into somebody who got something. How many of y'all had denied what God has told you to do because you think that person already got what they need? I ain't gonna give to them. They got more than me. But that's not what God said. God said, sow into them. It ain't got nothing to do with what you think they got. Or even what you know they got. You do what God says to do. And what if God's saying the $10 that you gave that person, I'm going to multiply it 100,000 times. 10 little funky dollars. But you're not assured you're going to get it back. Because your ways aren't his ways. Your thoughts aren't his thoughts. You just be obedient to what he said to do. I know. No, we good, brother. No. You really enhancing the message. You enhancing the message. Because the things that you're saying, most people are thinking. They thinking it. They just won't say it. And so when we change our mindset, because look what you just did. When I give you my 10, I made you first. And now I'm last. But in the spiritual, I'm first. See, it's a whole different mindset when you start thinking about what we're doing. We get caught up in the physical and saying, I don't have that $10 no more. But you got another position in the spiritual realm. And so we all look. In elementary school, we used to get mad if we were standing in line. I'm about to get my chocolate milk and my food. And somebody come and cut line. I seen her face. She was like, that ain't right. But really, in the spiritual realm, we should be wanting people to jump line. Think about the woman who was bent over. She didn't go to church that day expecting anything but what had been happening all along. But when Jesus laid eyes on her, she wasn't bent over anymore. She got to jump line from the dignitaries, from the people who paid all the money all the time, from the people who had social status. They didn't get nothing that day. The Bible didn't say so. The Bible says that this woman that was bent over for 18 years got her blessing. Now, we don't even know how long she had been praying for that thing, but it finally showed up in the form of Jesus. And Jesus heard her long before he met her. And now she's straightened up. And all it was love. Love lifted her. So we need to try stuff like that. You know, we'll try all kind of crazy stuff. We'll go to the natural store and buy all kind of medicines to do this and do that, and we'll buy ointments to get rid of this pain and that pain, but we won't try the biblical things of God. We need to start trying what this thing says. And what if it works? So listen, I'm a little bit more and I'm gone. John 4, 31, 34. The woman at the well. Jesus met this woman at the well, right? But the backdrop of that is Jesus was tired. And hungry. And so him and disciples were sitting around, and he knew this woman was coming. So he sent them away. What are you sending them away to go get? Thank you. You're sending them away to go get food. Now, listen to what it says. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, can you eat a good deed? Y'all can answer the question. No, you can't eat a good deed. Well, yes, you can. Technically, you can. Somebody bake you a cake or cook your dinner. You can eat a good deed. But what Jesus is saying, Jesus said, I have meat that you know not thereof. They said, did somebody bring him something to eat while we was gone? And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. So what Jesus is really saying, in essence, there's some power. Listen, meat is a sustenance with protein and strength. It gives we get energy from it. So what Jesus is saying, when I do the will of my Father, I get strength. And as a matter of fact, I'm finna mess you up. My cholesterol go down because I didn't eat no bad stuff. My high blood pressure is under control because I ain't eat no pork. I'm even healthier because I'm eating a meat that's a substance. So look, he was going to minister to this woman, but he was tired. How many of us will go the extra mile and minister to somebody when you tired and broke down and you sleep? I mean, your body gone, your eyes just open. If you've ever did that, you walk away trying to come down off a high. You really do. You're trying to come down off a high. When you minister to somebody, and you, how many of y'all done went to minister to somebody and you was regret going all the way? Ain't nobody going to talk about that. Let me tell you, pastor do that sometimes. But I promise you, after I leave there, I am so much better than I was before I got there. My whole mindset had changed. The energy that I needed was there. And as a matter of fact, it took a minute to come down. A lot of times after you've been in that place, you can't just go lay down and go to sleep. It take a minute because you're so thankful that God did something. See, the person was just glad you showed up, just like Brother West said. But you got so much more out of it than they did. And you leaving like, good God, woo, Lord have mercy. You showed me so much stuff in such a short period of time. So he said, the meat that I eat. So how about you eat that today? The meat that he eat. Do a good deed for somebody. Put yourself last for a chance. Put somebody else first. Let me help you a little bit. A lot of times it's not even a physical act, it's a mental act. Make somebody first in your mind. And I promise you, if you do that, it will turn physical. Because action starts with a thought. So Jesus really said, ministering to this woman gave me some supernatural strength. I'm not talking to everybody. How many of y'all ever been wanting to deal in the supernatural? I just told you how to get there. You don't need no tarot card reader. You don't need no palm reader. You don't need no dust throwers. It's simple. Just by putting somebody else first, ministering to somebody in need. And what would happen if the body of Christ was operating like that? If the body of Christ was operating just like that, what could we do in the earth? If we really understood the power that we have, if we understood the power that we have, we could speak to somebody that's going through right now at this moment. You don't even know them. And yell in the atmosphere, peace be still. Possibly that young man that tried to kill himself will put the gun down. Possibly that drug addict that's in the alley ready to shoot up in their arm will break the needle. Sadly enough to say, y'all, God has given everybody the choice to continue on with these evil deeds. And until the New Age Church comes forth, it's not going to get any better. I don't want to fool you. I don't want you to be fooled. But do not, I repeat, do not conform to this world. Do not stop praying just because you see evil deeds all over the place. Pray harder. That's where that fervent prayer comes in. Pray even harder. What a day. What a day. I am so grateful for all of you, and I am so grateful for God.